and we're going to be there, then we're going to turn around, we're going to go through a few places here. I'm not going to be very long tonight because we took some time with the video. So just to give you a recap of how that happened, 4 years ago, Maggie and I, we were new there, we were in town, we ran into a British couple. We just started talking to them. They said they worked in a fish business, and I thought, well, great, we can get some fresh fish off of you. And they collect cichlids for aquariums up in Lake Tanganyika is known for that. Now that's always something I was interested in when I was a kid. And so she invited Emily and I to go see what she does. So I thought that would be good for us, you know, to get out and see a little bit of the country. So Emily and I went. They told us it was going to be a rough trip. We went up there. Emily would never go back with me after that. She had enough of that. And when I got up there, I realized there was a village behind them that had no church. So we went back up again. And this time we went back up, I just went by myself. The British family didn't go with me, so they don't even know this. But we used their living room to have a church service in the living room. They don't even know the Lord, so I don't know how happy they'd be about that. But we had church in their living room, and some people got saved. And then I was just going to go back to my part of Zambia and carry on life. And they asked me this. They said, "Now that we heard the truth, what are we going to do next Sunday? That's 2.5 days from where I live, and not 2.5 American days." You know, I haven't done that trip yet where I haven't blown at least one tire. So I'm thinking, man, that's hard to get up. So we just started going back as often as we could. The first step is we needed a boat. So the last time I was home on furlough, a church that I used to pastor in Louisiana, they raised $8,000 for the boat. Then a church in Michigan raised $8,000 to send it. They put it, then that pastor drove it to the port in the Boston area, put it on a ship. That boat rode all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, came to Namibia, got off in Namibia in Walvis Bay, then took a semi-truck from there to Zambia. Then I got it, put it behind a car, and drove it up to the lake. And the boat was there for 2 years, and we would go back up, and we'd take missions trips. And then I had a pastor that supported Zambia back when I was pastoring. He'd been there before I ever got to Zambia. So he came for a return visit in September. And he heard about the lake. He wanted me to take him up to the lake. I had just had ACL surgery on my knee. 2 weeks after that, I'm in an airplane, which I shouldn't have been, going way up there. And I got to show him that spot. When he got there, he said, "Dave," he said, "we'll raise the money if you can find a national pastor that will be willing to sacrifice and come here and move and pastor." So he went home. They raised $28,000, and we began building that. I went up in September. We put the slab. We built Fraser a house. Fraser has gone up with me at least probably 8 times. During this time, God worked in Fraser's heart, and he said that God was calling him to the lake. So after we built his house, him and his wife, Fraser, I mean, you could put everything Fraser owns in the back of your trunk. And Fraser got on a bus with some suitcases I had given him, the clothes he could put in that suitcase, and his 2 little kids and his wife, and moved. Pots and pans in a bag, no furniture. I helped him get some when he got up there. No furniture, no bed. Got on a bus and said, "I'll go pastor that church." So the church in Tennessee is raising $300 a month to be able to take care of him. And then I went back in January and we put the roof on the building, and it's good to go. And that's what it looks like. And you guys had a part in that because you've been supporting our ministry. And I just want to thank you for doing that. And you won't be able, in heaven, you'll understand what all that means. Let's pray and we'll look at this. I won't be long. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for this church and just the fellowship of being around each other this week and you speaking to us. Lord, we love you. I pray that you'd help us one more time just to understand your heart. Help us, Father, because Monday it's going to be back to the same old, the world that is very hostile to believers. And Lord, we're just occupying till you come. But Lord, we want to be useful. We want to be productive. You're still working. You're still moving. You're still in control. And we know that. We just want to be a part of it. Lord, I pray you would encourage us and strengthen us to be able to keep doing and keep serving. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. With your hand there, we're going to be in John, but keep your finger there. And I want you to go to Exodus chapter 25, if you would. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And then I want you to look at verse 5. Exodus 25. Let me get there first. And then Exodus 25 and verse 2. It says this in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering, and this offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass. And it goes on and names these things as they're working on the tabernacle and the ark. So, you know, what God doesn't do is God never goes to the world to ask them to be a part of what he's doing. You'll never find that. Okay, by the way, may I tell you something? He does not need our resources. He owns them all, correct? Do you agree with me? Okay, he's in control of everything. We as Christians, and please don't forget this. That's why it makes me nervous when I start seeing people and they start fading off of church, and you hear this all the time. Well, I don't need to go to church to be able to talk to God. That's correct. But what you are going to miss is that God's the one that established this. Man did not establish a church. And I understand man can mess it up. I get that. Okay? But regardless, it's God's plan, and it's a plan because it helps us. We need each other, okay? Because that world out there is not our home. How do you relate to somebody who does not feel the same way about God that we do? Their views on everything are going to be completely different. So we come to church for more than one reason. Another reason is because we need to be involved in what God's doing, because we need God involved in our life. I mean, you take God out of your life, you won't believe what you're going to undo. And I'm not just talking about your salvation. We need him actively involved in our life. We need that partnership, okay? And here they're building the tabernacle, and it says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. Now, this message isn't going to be about money. I just want you to focus on this, okay? God said, I'm going to let you have a part in this tabernacle, okay? But I don't want it unless you're willing. Now, remember, we had spent some time talking about faith and about trying to. Faith is, if we believed everything, and this, again, this is Brother Bruce's quote, if I actually believed everything in that book and lived it, you wouldn't recognize the person standing in front of you. And that's true. Okay? But if it is true that the God of the universe put two people in the garden and those two people walked away from him, and then he stepped in and he sent his son, who's never done anything wrong, and his only son, he sent them to earth fully knowing what he was going to go through on that cross at the hands of the very people that he made. Do you understand? His creation spit in his face. His creation nailed him to a cross. His creation did all of that so that you and I could go to heaven. If you believe that, let me ask you then, does he have the right to my life? Yes or no? Does the Bible say we are not our own? What? Bought with a price. May I tell you, you grab just that one thought. You walk out that door, game changer. I'm not free. I gave my freedom up to Jesus Christ because he bought it. And I belong to him. And that should be okay. And if it's not okay, there's a problem. If you can't grasp that you're not your own, you don't get to tell God what to do with his stuff, because he bought me back. You know, I'm not going to go to hell. Not because I'm a preacher or because I was born in church. I'm not going to go to hell because Jesus bought me back from sin. I'm going to heaven. With that in and of itself should produce a willing heart in God's people. So that when it comes about doing God's things, there should be no shortage of people wanting to get involved, Pastor, because every one of us ought to be hands up as soon as we can get them up in the air, because we're willing participants in something we care about because he cared about us. And God said, don't put anything in this offering unless you are willing. And then he said this, willing of heart. I hope that you live tomorrow with an idea, whatever he needs, whatever he wants, I'm in. Because he deserves that. Would you agree he deserves that? 100%. But it was neat to say that God said to them, even in the Old Testament, listen, I want you to do this, but only do it if you buy into that. Do you believe that this all is worth it? I'm sure there's some that didn't. But there's some that did. And you'll never find anybody, and it all depends upon what level. Remember, we talked about earlier this week, you're going to stand in front of God. Well, if you want that to be different, then we got to start here and say, God, look in my heart and help me to be willing. See, then you're never put off. We don't get as disgruntled as easy. We push through the obstacles of serving God, which there are, because we're doing it for him. If you're doing it for me, problem. There was, do you know Dr. Keene? He was a guy that pastored at Milford, Ohio. While I'm getting ready to tell this story, go to Exodus chapter 35. So Dr. Keene was the pastor of First Baptist of Milford in Ohio. He preached a missions conference for me, and he told us this story. He said that his daughter had a Mrs. Beasley doll. Anybody remember Mrs. Beasley doll? I have no idea what that is. How many of you know what a Mrs. Beasley doll? Raise your hand. Well, it's everybody that's over 50. Since I'm still 49, I'm okay. All right. So he said his daughter had a Mrs. Beasley doll, and he said this. He said you would think that I loved Mrs. Beasley, because he said sometimes in the middle of the night I'd be on my hands and knees in the bedroom looking for Mrs. Beasley. Sometimes I would be digging through a trash can looking for Mrs. Beasley. He said there are sometimes I've walked up and down an interstate road because there's an open window and a six-year-old looking for Mrs. Beasley. He said by my actions you would think I like Mrs. Beasley. He said truth be known, Mrs. Beasley caused me a lot of problems. But then he said this, and I never forgot that. He said, but I love somebody that loves Mrs. Beasley. And may I tell you something in ministry? If you're gonna be a part of a church at some point, at some time, you're gonna get disenchanted. That's it. Do you know why we keep doing it? You can't work with people without getting disenchanted. But do you know why you keep moving on, Pastor? It's because I love somebody that loves Mrs. Beasley. To say that I care about the world as much as God does, wrong. Sometimes you get in a spot and you're like, I'm going to heaven. You know, the rest of you figure it out. You know, because you get a little aggravated sometimes. But do you know why? Do you know why you do it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. And I might not do it for you, but I'd do it for him. Hands down. Where are we going? No matter what. Because we love him. So look at here, Exodus chapter 35. And then I want you to look here in verse, whoops, can't put them on backwards. Look here in verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. All right, and then go over here to verse 21. And they came every one whose heart stirred him up. I like that. So now not only are we just looking at a willing heart, look at this. And they came every one whose heart stirred him up. Look, I can't make you feel about this the way maybe this brother going to Cambodia. Listen, he's not more important than you. He doesn't get there without you. Okay? He has to have you. So, how do we get our hearts stirred? I can't do that for you. I just hope that this week, being around the Word of God, that there's something inside of you that says, God, I got to do something. I want to be a part of this. So not only did he ask for a willing heart, but look at this. And there came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. Okay, now go up to verse 22. And they came both men and women. I like this. As many as were willing hearted. Go down to verse 25. And all the women that were wise hearted. You know what that means? The best thing that you could do for yourself, do for your family, or do for anybody that you care about. If you care about anybody in this world, the best thing you could ever do for them is stay as close to God as you possibly can. If you care about them, that's what you're going to do. Because you can't do for yourself what God can do for you. Period. And it's a wise-hearted person that recognizes that and says, that's where I need to be. That's what I need to be involved in. That's what I need to be doing. Okay, because it says here, and the women that were wise-hearted, all right, look at verse 26, and all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom. So I think we pretty much got a good platform there to understand that you gotta be willing. Now, keep your hand in John. We only got two more places to look. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And let me read verse 1. 1 Peter 5, we'll start in verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am I also an elder, and witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. Now this is him talking to preachers. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. So there's got to be somebody in charge. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. So he's telling them, never should you ever be a pastor because you have to. Never be a pastor because somebody's making you. Or you can't get a real job. My dad used to tell me, when am I going to get a real job? You know, no, he's changed his mind. But I remember telling him, I'm going to go into ministry. Well, when are you going to start working for 11? You know, because we only work on Wednesdays and Sundays. So I said, see, if you were smart, you'd get a job like that 2 days a week. Amen. All right. So it says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but what? So, not only are you supposed to be of a willing heart, he's supposed to be of a willing heart. And the man that God gave you to lead you is something that God did. And it's for a reason. It's not, by the way, may I tell you something? Pastors aren't better than you. No. In fact, sometimes I trade places, because you know what? When I get to heaven, not only do I have to give an account of everything I've done in my body, then I got to give an account of being a pastor on top of that. Okay? So, there, and no doubt that's going to be, whew. So, this is God's plan. And it's out of a willing heart, not out of a dictator. You notice what it says here. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, can't be for money, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Understand, this is, you are God's heritage. Okay? But being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So you know what? That crown of glory sounds nice. But may I tell you something? The opposite of a crown of glory is you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble if you don't do it right. Now, are there people out there that do it for money? Sure. Are there people out there that maybe shouldn't be doing it? Yes. But can I tell you something about your pastor? I know this 100%. He does it willingly because he loves God and he wants to follow him, and because of that he loves you. So, which brings me to the last part. Go to 1 John, and I want to show you, I want you to go to verse 9. 1 John chapter, I'm sorry, 3 John, and then it's going to be verse 9. 3 John verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, I've met a couple of these in ministry, Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receiveth it not. So he's writing, he's saying, look, I wrote unto the church, I wanted to tell them what we're doing, about the mission that we're involved in, but the pastor of your church only cares about himself, all he cares about is his ministry, and he would not have us come. So you know what's very encouraging. This brother here going to Cambodia, right? Indonesia, over there someplace. Unfortunately, he's going to have to call some Diotrephes. I'm telling you, this happened to me. Okay, I'm at it's a small church, 60 people. They invited me to a picnic. Somebody drops a hamburger on the ground. One of the guys says, "Pick it up and give it to the missionary going to Africa. He'll eat anything." And you know what? I did. Okay? No problem. But may I tell you something? That church still runs 60 people. And it will. Because of that attitude. Okay? Well, that's okay. I ate the hamburger. Didn't hurt. Hey, you throw it back on a grill, get it to 169, I'll eat anything. Amen? So, so he ran into one of these Diotrephes, and he's saying, like, this guy's a work of art here. Okay? It says, he likes to have the preeminence among them, receive it not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds. He's thinking, you know, I always say, I'm going to go back there and I'm going to go plant a church right next door to him. Okay. All right. Verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doth, prating against us with malicious words. Could you imagine? You're out there fighting the devil and you got to fight this. All right. Against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So these people that are involved in missions, they're not welcome, or involved in God's work, they're not welcome at this church. And he runs them away. We were at BIMI, we were talking to another missionary, and he said, hey, be careful about what you post on Facebook, which I know that. He said one of his friends got dropped because he put a picture of his dog on Facebook, and the pastor wrote him and said, we're going to drop you because we don't want our mission money going to buy dog food. You know, well, he only says that because he doesn't live in Africa where I live. And I have to go in the bush, and I have to leave these three precious cargo in the middle of nowheres, and I have more than one dog, and I thank God every day for them because it makes her feel comfortable. Now, why would you even say something so dumb? Because you got your mind on the wrong thing, all right? Getting worked over stupid stuff and causing nothing but trouble. So would you follow a Diotrephes? Huh? How many of you want a Diotrephes for a pastor? Okay? Okay, now, look at what's next. Okay? Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Woo, that's a pretty scathing report for poor old Diotrephes. All right. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Okay, so he's saying this guy is just the opposite of the first one I mentioned. We could go to Demetrius's church. We're welcome. We can't go to Diotrephes. See, Demetrius has a willing heart. He doesn't fall in this category of doing it because he has to or doing it for filthy. So he has a willing heart. So may I tell you something? I know your pastor good enough that he's not perfect and neither am I. But may I say something to you? The sheep he takes care of is not perfect either. Okay? So nobody's perfect, right? But would you agree that this man loves the Lord? Okay? Maybe you don't agree with him all the time. His wife doesn't either. So, all right, that's human nature. But we know that he's not doing it for filthy lucre. We know that he's not doing it because he has to. We know that he's doing it because he loves the Lord and he loves you. So, his job is to lead you, and he has opened his doors to the guys that are writing this letter. And he has missionaries comes in. And he's not afraid of allowing church funds to go across the ocean. Every church pastor could probably spend that budget 15 times over here. But he cares enough about the things of God to get involved in it to say, hey, why don't you come be in our missions conference? And you know what? That man treats us with respect. I watch him. He's very careful and concerned that the whole week that we're taken care of. He's never rude. He's never impolite. He doesn't treat us like second-rate citizens because we're not pastors. We're missionaries. So, here's the thing. In order to keep doing what we're doing, in order to have a part in the Great Commission, it takes everything we've learned this whole week and it boils down to this. A willing heart, following a willing heart as you both follow God and you get something done from heaven. It takes both of you guys to say this is a group of people that God has put together at this time to do something in Elizabeth City, North Carolina for the kingdom. And it's a privilege to be a part of that. And then together, we all do it for him. Now, what I can't do, I can't reach inside of there and make you willing. Okay, I can't do that. And I know everybody in here has got a story of why this and why that, why I don't do that, why this. I have my own too. Okay? But he's worth it. And I'm glad to be among a group of people that are, I would stand shoulder to shoulder with you and everybody in this room any day of the week. And I would stand shoulder to shoulder with him and say, let's go get done something for the kingdom. So tonight as we close this out, maybe you've already filled that card out. Maybe you haven't. You can always change it. But it's not just about missions giving. It's about serving the Lord for the next year. Because if Sunday schools aren't strong, if the church body's not strong, if the church families aren't strong, if individual homes don't have unity in the homes, this doesn't happen next year. Doesn't happen. But we need it to happen. Because every year, Pastor tries to call at least one new missionary. And every year, tries to take on, and we don't even know the name of the guy that's going to sit here next year, but God does. You know? And then when that happens, then you get a part in this whole thing. Amen. So tonight, as we close this out, would you just do this? Say, God, help me. Maybe there's a rut. God, help me to be willing. Help my attitude to just be, I'll do it for you. Because that's why we're doing it. I'll do it for you. And what wouldn't we do for him? Because he's worthy. God, I'll do it for you. What do you want? Outside of my comfort zone, it's okay. I'll do it for you. What do you want? If God spoke to your heart tonight and this time, you can do it in your seat, you can do it at a pew. Just, could you just imagine, just take just a minute. If everybody in here would just say, you know what? I can't argue with the Bible. And he's right, I need to have a willing heart. God, help my heart. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your truth in it. And Lord, we see how this works. Lord, that as we have a willing heart, pastor has a willing heart, and then we're going to follow that pastor as he leads us and we follow you. Because it is a privilege to be a part of your ministry. It's a privilege to be a part of your family. God, help us to have a willing heart. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Pastor.